Good morning, Covenant Church.
Good morning.
It's summertime, it's holiday time, and Pastor John isn't here, so you have to hear what I have to say to you today. We are in a series looking for wisdom. And I want to go on with that series. I want to talk about wisdom today, and we find the starting verse for that in Proverbs chapter 2, the verses 1 to 5. Do we have that on the screen? No? Proverbs 2, verses 1 to 5. If we don't have it, if you don't have it, I send it to the pastor already a week ago, but okay, it doesn't matter. Take your Bibles there it is. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Now, isn't that what we are looking for? We want to understand God's way with us. We want to learn from him, and we want to find ways how to master our lives. So that's why we are looking into wisdom. Now here it says, my son. So that means there is an older person talking to the younger ones. And throughout the Bible, we find that idea that there is wisdom with the older people. Now, maybe by my age, I already qualify for being wise. But I have to tell you, I have so many questions still myself. I don't want to be regarded as a wise person. And unfortunately, I think Christian isn't here today. Last week, we had a young guy here and talking about God's wisdom, I think, in a wonderful way. So, he showed us to look into wisdom from a number of Old Testament verses. And today I want to give it a different approach. We call ourselves Christians. Other people from other religions would call us the same. What does that mean? We are followers of Christ. Now, Christ is a title, comes from the Greek word Christos, means so much as Messiah or Redeemer or Savior. His name, in fact, was Jesus. And to take his civil name, it was Jesus from Nazareth. So we are, as Christians, we are followers of Jesus. Shouldn't we search for wisdom in the words and in the teaching of Jesus? So this was what I understood from my studies that I did last year. As a Christian, I have to study what Jesus was teaching. If I don't know what he was teaching, how can I be a follower of Jesus? Now, for us, for most of us, with these English Bibles that we have, it's very simple, very easy to find out what Jesus was teaching. All we have to do is we have to read the red print. If you have a Bible like I have one, where everything that Jesus said is printed in red, all I have to do is I have to read the red print. And I did that. I started reading The Red Prince, and I want to tell you what came up first to me. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." I was shocked. This is Jesus' teaching. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. What does it help me or you to find the kingdom of heaven if I tell you or anybody else what I made wrong in my life? See, this is how we understand the word repent. We think it means confessing. It means telling someone what you've done wrong, either if it's in prayer that you talk to God, or if it's to someone who has your trust that you tell him or her what you think you've done wrong. But I wasn't absolutely satisfied with that. And now there's one thing I learned in my life, and that's don't give up. So I didn't give up, and I was digging a little bit more. And of course, I found there are other translations, and they say, instead of repent, they say, turn around. Or if we even go to the Greek word that's behind that, it says, change your mind. Change the way you are thinking. Because the kingdom of heaven is near. Now, let me first ask, how are we thinking? What's the way we are thinking? Maybe we make a little experiment in our minds, and I hope you can follow me. I imagine there is a table, and I place two toddlers. Let me say two boys about two and a half years, opposite to each other on the table. And then I come and take a wonderful, beautiful fire truck and put that in the midst of the table. What will happen? Those two boys, I would say, were the probability of 99.9% will fight. I want this truck. This is my truck. This is for me. Right? That's what would happen. And it takes a wise person, a parent or whatever, to show those guys, if you take that fire truck and push it across the table to each other, you have so much fun. But they don't get it by themselves. That's the way we are thinking. It's always I, it's me, it's my. And Jesus says, this way of thinking doesn't fit into the kingdom of heaven. And that's true. The kingdom of heaven is a kingdom of love. And if we translate love a little bit different, then we say the kingdom of heaven is a kingdom where not I am the most important, but you are. But it's funny. We people, we think I am important. That is found even in our language, in our grammar. Most of you know I'm born German, and I speak German, I speak English, I understand French and some Dutch and some Spanish and Italian. All of these languages that I can imagine, when it comes to the personal pronouns, they all start with I. It's always I, you, he, she, it. Or if we go to the plural, it's we, and then comes you. Does it sound familiar to you if I say America first? We've heard that recently. We come first. That's important for so many people. And we as Canadians may say, I'm sorry for our American friends here, we as Canadians may say, oh, Canada first. That's the way we are thinking. And if anything bad happens in this world, we may think how good it's far away somewhere in Asia or in Africa. It's not in Canada. We are well off. That's the way we are thinking. And Jesus says, that's wrong. You don't fit into the kingdom of God if this is the way you are thinking. Let me give you another little example. Midland, Penetang, we have a number of grocery stores, supermarkets. They all have one thing in common. They all have huge parking lots. I cannot imagine ever that I went into one of these supermarkets and couldn't find the parking spot very close to it. They have one other thing in common. All of them, along the building, they have signs, no parking. This is the fire route, so that fire trucks can come in and in any emergency case. And they have one third thing in common. As often as I go to one of these superstores or supermarkets, there are cars parked in the no parking zone just in front of the door. Why? I am so important. My time is so precious that I can do that. That's what's behind it. I come first. Safety and whatever of other people doesn't interest me. That's the way we are thinking. Turn around. Change the way you are thinking. The way we think determines the way we are acting. I grew up in a metric country. I was raised in that country, metric. I was taught metric. I am 100% a metric person, through and through. Not too long ago, my family doctor sent me to a specialist. He wanted to see an ultrasound of my heart. So I had to go to this other doctor's office, and the receptionist asked me a couple of questions, personal data like date of birth, full name, full address, phone number, and then how tall are you and what do you weigh? I said, I'm 1.76 meters tall and I weigh 86 kilograms. She looked at me as if I came from a different world. She said, no, I need that in inches and feet and in pounds. I said, sorry, Canada is a metric country. You have to be able to use metric dimensions. Oh, she almost got mad at me. And I had to tell her, you know what, your computer program will have a little box where you can click on and it will work with metric dimensions. She did that. She could put in my information. But what did she do next? She clicked that box again. It was back to imperial measurements. And then she told me, that's how tall you are in feet and inches and how many pounds you weigh. Can we change? Canada, now my American friends are except again. Canada is a metric country. But I bet you are all not, or most of you are not really metric. I bet over 90% of you are not able to bake a cake or to prepare a meal in an oven except for doing it in degrees Fahrenheit.
Try building a house that way.
See, and I bet a great number of you don't know what you weigh in kilograms. You may have to take your calculator and say, 1 pound is 453 grams, or 54, or whatever. Can we change? I think all of you, when it comes to metric, all you do is you fuel up your car in liters, and you drive speed in kilometers per hour, and maybe you measure distances in kilometers. That's it. Other than that, we have 2x4s, and we have 4x8 sheets of plywood, half inch. Right?
Of course.
Of course. That's the way we are thinking. Now, I told you I am 100% a metric person. When I came to Canada, I had to change. If I wanted to do my job here, for which I came, I had to change. And there was one thing that I can tell you. I wanted to understand that. So it was my desire to understand it. So now that I exercised it, that I used it, that I am living in this other system, you can talk to me, 2x4s and 4x8s and whatnot, and I even feel, I sense things in these dimensions. You show me a 2x4 and I know it's a 2x4. I don't have to think, oh, this is so many millimeters by so many millimeters. No, I know what a 2x4 is. Although I am metric. So you can change. If you want to change, you can change. Let me give you another example. I was already 44 years when I came to Canada. And so far, I've spoken most of my time, I've spoken German. But I wasn't too bad with English because the whole business world is English. You can go wherever in the world. If you negotiate something, you can do that in English. So I was used to it from my work to talk to other people in English, to negotiate certain things, technical things, whatever. There's only one exception. That's France and Quebec. They want you to speak French. But the rest of the world is English. But still, I was a German guy. But you know what? By using the English language, by practicing English, it came so far that now I am thinking English. And I wake up certain mornings and I know I had a dream in English. So using different things, practicing a different life, living and using different things may change your life. Question is that really enough? Can we change the way we are thinking in terms of, I am so important, and then there is a big space, and then you may come? Can I change that just by wanting to change, just by starting to do things a little bit different? The Bible is relatively clear with that. Let me say that in a term that we find in the Old Testament. I just will give that with my words. Do you think that tigers and zebras are able to change their stripes? Do you think you can change the color of your skin? Maybe Michael Jackson thought he could do. There are people who try. But can we do it? See, there is one more thing that Jesus taught, and we find that in John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Here we have the same thing. Jesus is talking of the kingdom of God, and he says, you don't fit in the kingdom of God the way you are. What does it need? You have to be changed. You have to be born again. Now, there's a lot of people who think to be born again means I accept Jesus into my life. I don't think that's the whole story. Yes, it's how it starts. When you say, yes, I need somebody to help me, and ask Jesus into your life, that's how it begins. But as much as I wasn't born the day my mother conceived me, we may need time between that decision, Jesus should come into my life, and the result that my life has changed. We need to be born again. Only when Jesus, only when the Holy Spirit helps us to escape the way we are normally, naturally thinking, I come first. Only if we can overcome that through the Holy Spirit, then we may see that we are born again. If I watch myself a little bit, I find I'm slipping back into the old way of living very, very often. It's kind of disappointing, but this is just the way I can see it in my life. When I'm driving with my car, very often I have the feeling, this was my right of way and he took it. I should think that way. It's interesting, I see it now, the very moment it happens, I see it, and I think, no, you shouldn't think that way. You should think the other way. You should think, God bless him. Right? But that's important, that we can watch ourselves and that we come to the point that we say, God, I cannot do it by myself. Holy Spirit, I need you to do it in my life. I need to be born again, and I need that you help me day by day doing things different. Only what's in us, only the way we are thinking will determine the way we are acting. So every time I see that I am failing, I say, God, you have to change my heart. You have to do it. I cannot do it. I need to be a new person by your power, not by my own. The example of Jesus shows us that it is possible to live a selfless life. Whatever you read in the New Testament about the life of Jesus, you will find he was always thinking of the well-being of the others first. And even when it came to give his own life, he could say, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do." It may take quite a trip for us till we are at that same point. But there is one thing that we can do right away. We can want to be changed, and we can pray to God, "Change me. Take that away from me, that I feel myself so important." And that's what I want to do with you right now. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, it's in our nature that we think we are so important. But you don't want us to be so important. You want us to be able to love and to see others and the importance of others. So you have to come into our lives. You have to come into my life and change my heart so that I may be able to do the right thing and that I may be fit for the kingdom of heaven. Lord, that's my prayer today, that we all understand that we need you, that we need your help, and that our lives have to be changed. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.